WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. Stay tuned. Oh, I should say it is 5 o'clock. Stay tuned for Back of the Book. Never be, Lord of Mercy. No love at all.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. It's getting hard to deny that there's a climate crisis. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
We're going to talk about various things in this radio program, And you can find out a bit more about all of it by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that. You'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 141st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story in all of the galaxy clusters for this past week is... we are holding at the gigantic total of 125 followers on Twitter. Yes, speaking of Twitter, Leon Scum, yes, that's an anagram of somebody's name, Leon Scum announced, quote, temporary limits, unquote, on how many tweets people can read in a day. That number is gigantic. And some people are actually bumping into those limits. It was started out as 600 for ordinary folks and 6,000 if you are verified, and then it went up. I don't know if it's actually still going on there. I haven't looked at 6,000 tweets in the decade I've been up on Twitter. Anyway, it may be that Leon Scum is trying to force the real Twitter junkies to pay to be verified so that they'll have a much larger limit. And now that other creep, Mark Zuckerberg, has launched something called Threads, which is supposed to compete with Twitter. But it's tied to his other online traps for people's personal information. But Leon Scum is facing some new competition, and he doesn't like it, and he's suing. Oh, geez, these awful people who get a hold of things. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 12th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Centers for Disease Control website isn't giving us a lot of up-to-date information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that total deaths are at 1,134,300, which by my calculation means that 2,094 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. Now, this is puzzling because it would mean that there's been a significant increase in the death rate this past week. It had been like 700-something last week, and now it's 2,094? That's almost three times the total. So I don't understand how that works. And...
well, I'm not sure how the CDC is counting stuff anymore either, Arbald, but... according to the World Health Organization, we have global numbers. As of July 3rd, worldwide, there have been 143,898 weekly cases of COVID worldwide. And as of June 27th, there have been 6,948,764 confirmed deaths worldwide. So we're coming up on 7 million deaths during the pandemic due to COVID. And we've already probably passed that because...
oh, yeah, a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
But I think the CDC is behind a bit on their metric because they're also using compilations of the morbidity and mortality report from weeks ago. So I think that may be a part of it. Anyway, the CDC is saying that there's been a downtick in COVID-19 deaths in America this past week. I need to look into this a lot more. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can as well.
And there are two birthdays of note happening this weekend. Happy birthday to Rat Girl of the West and our Uncle Sidney.
Yes, both people. And we have a little tradition, and let's get some assistance from the Fab Four for wishing a merry birthday to Rat Girl of the West and Uncle Sidney. Take it away, Fab Four. Now hearing that the leader of the Wagner group, Yevgeny Prigozhin, is not only still alive, but he's in Russia. What's going on here? This guy tried to overthrow Putin, was told, we will kill you. And then the other guy in Belarus, crook as well, said, I'll broker a peace. And so the Wagner group and Prigozhin moved over, and they were in Belarus, and now he's in Russia and breathing? What the hell are these people doing? I should think that would look like a sign of weakness in the part of Putin to have him in there at all. The only thing Putin can do is, crucify him, literally, and that would keep up Putin's image, I suppose. And meanwhile, the Ukrainian offensive is not moving so fast, but these things happen. I mean, if you want to do history, think of the Southwest Pacific area in 1942. And, oh boy, one little place, Guadalcanal, an island. That took 6 months to be dealt with. It's far tinier than Ukraine and the occupied regions. And, of course, it was also an island, and you couldn't just bring loads of land troops onto there. That took 6 months to take that. And then it was years fighting in the Southwest Pacific to just kind of stabilize that. It's a very complicated campaign or set of campaigns that went on there. And this is how things work in the military and in many other things. You can say, well, we're going to do X, and it takes a very long time. And some people are getting all exercised about the United States probably sending the Ukrainians cluster bombs because they can hurt civilians. But those same people say nothing when Russia blows up entire high-rise apartment buildings with hypersonic rockets and artillery. I think there's a gap there. It's hard to understand how people can be outraged about America sending cluster bombs to be used against the invaders while saying, oh, well, you know, it's okay that they blow up those apartment buildings with people living in them. I think that hurts civilians, too. This is about something that happened a month ago, but we didn't get to it, but I wanted to get to it. So here it is now. Owen Gingrich has died. He was an astronomer, and he was 93 when he died. He taught at Harvard for many years. He taught astronomy and the history of science. And he would sometimes dress up as historical figures for some lectures. He would come in and be Isaac Newton and talk about, you know, Newton's laws and all of that and gravity. And he was also a writer. In 2006, Gingrich was on the side of those in the astronomical community that wanted to keep Pluto as a planet. Yes, the big Pluto war. He was a part of it. He was part of the committee that said, yeah, let's keep Pluto as a planet. But the other guys won with some rather strange logic, but I guess both sides can whack at each other on that. So he lost that particular battle. And he also wrote God's Universe and God's Planet. He was unable to shed his early training. He was, you know, trained in a certain Christian sect, and he couldn't get rid of that, unfortunately. He got to be 93, really in science, looking at the history of science, which really tends to kick organized superstition down the rat hole, or back down the rat hole. And so he managed to get that old and see all these things and see history and teach history of science and not realize that, you know, a lot of it's about refuting this stuff. Remember Galileo? Hey, why did Copernicus wait until he was on his deathbed before he authorized the publication of his book that said, the earth is not the center of everything, and no, the sun doesn't go around the earth goes around the sun, and oh boy. So, yeah, why did that have to happen? Well, organized superstition, and you know, they couldn't do anything to Copernicus, really, but they did get a hold of Galileo. There was also a guy named Giordano Bruno, who in the year 1600 was burned at the stake by the Vatican because he had talked about other planets, maybe life on other planets, and this, of course, got into theology. And for that kind of thing, Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake. Really bad way to go. And so Galileo had that history, and he's hanging around that. He was a contemporary. He was there for that. And then you have the Pope's guys supposedly just showing Galileo the instruments of torture, like the rack and the thing where they crush your thumbs and all those awful other things and all, you know, they had a lot of medieval stuff in the Vatican basement. And so they took him down to their dungeon And they said, "Hey, Galileo, look at this. Isn't this interesting? Think of yourself on this rack, and there are two strong guys cranking it away, making you taller." And, you know, Galileo was a bright guy, and he just looked at that, and his mind instantly analyzed it, and he said, "Oh, boy." So he saved his life, and I'm glad he did save his life, and said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I was wrong about that thing." But, there was that. So, somehow Owen Gingrich was able to get past that and still believe in dogs spelled backwards and all that kind of thing. So, although he was unable to shed his early training, at least he was not some fundamentalist thumping a Bible about it. He didn't try to suppress things or any of that. So, but he was a famous astronomer. I think I may have a book by him. I'm not sure. And he did pass away, and I wanted to mention that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
In the world, there are all of these weather recording stations which pay attention to things like the temperature, the humidity, rainfall, etc., all that meteorological stuff. And it was reported that on Monday, the world broke a record. It was the hottest day for the whole planet overall on Monday. And that record stood until Tuesday. And on Tuesday, a new record was set for the hottest the Earth has ever been in human history. And then came Wednesday, and as we all know, for the third day in a row, the world record for the planet Earth's temperature was broken. Oh, man, you know, and then you have people in, like, the South who are having all these 110, 111 degree temperatures. And just having it over 100, well, that's commonplace. On the weather reports, they focus on who's getting up to 111, who's at 114, and these are killing temperatures for most people. And especially if you're, like, elderly or if you're in some way infirm, those temperatures alone can really overheat your body and kill you. And for people, for instance, who go down to Florida during, they leave New York and they retire to Florida, they're used to lower temperatures. So when it's over 100 degrees a lot, they're just locked into their air conditioning. And then you've got the situation in Texas, which may be even worse, because there they have a separate grid. They're not connected to the electricity in the rest of America. And we saw this happen a year or two ago where their grid got screwed up. And so they could have it all go down with a whole lot of electricity use. And that's what people need to survive in some cases in this heat. They need the air conditioning. Well, it's very hard to deny that there's a climate crisis now. And people are saying we've gotten to the point where it's happening, not it's going to happen. It's happening, the big bad stuff. So this is what we got, folks. What a time.
Well, this horrible statistic made me want to turn again to one of my favorite books, Weather and Illustrated History. Oh, this should be in every elementary school. It would just be another book to be banned, though, wouldn't it?
Who wrote it?
Andrew Revkin with Lisa McKaylee.
Okay.
And each chapter is only one page long, with one page of illustration. Our chapter concerns 252 million before current era. It's entitled Lethal Heat and the Great Dying. With the rise of oxygen, life forms grew bigger and more energetic. There were leaps of evolution and several mass extinctions, which mostly occurred during unusually active volcanic eruptions known as large igneous provinces. These emitted gigantic quantities of greenhouse gases, warming the climate, acidifying oceans, and often creating widespread oxygen-starved ocean dead zones. Oh, this is cutting a little too close to the bone right now, folks. The Permian mass extinction, otherwise known as the Great Dying, was the closest this planet has come to losing complex life altogether. Before that catastrophe, a menagerie of reptiles roamed the supercontinent of Pangaea, which straddled the globe from the South Pole to the Arctic. Ice covered large areas of southern land, fringed by conifer forests. And you know those forest folk, right? You know, like the ones that are on fire right now all across Canada. Moisture barely reached the vast continental interior, so desert dunes drifted across parts of Europe and America. That cool climate reversed sharply, however. The first instance occurred 262 million years ago, triggered by eruptions where China is today. But the real lethal heat marking the Great Dying struck 252 million years ago, when Siberia hemorrhaged lava for millennia, burying an area the size of Europe in basalt and ash over 2 miles thick. Acid fog circled the planet and sulfur billowed into the stratosphere, triggering a transient volcanic winter before raining out as highly corrosive acid rain. Greenhouse gas flooded the atmosphere enough to raise global temperatures by 18 degrees Fahrenheit, making the tropics lethally hot. Carbon dioxide dissolved in the oceans, acidifying them, and they became so starved of oxygen that even seabed burrowing worms disappeared. In a preview of the present, fossil-fueled combustion exacerbated the climate change. Magma feeding the eruptions ignited coal and oil deposits, releasing methane and carbon dioxide and spreading fly ash thousands of miles downwind. A staggering 90% of marine life and some 75% of land life went extinct in less than 60,000 years, a geological eye blink. Biodiversity didn't recover until several million years later. That was lethal heat and the Great Dying.
Well, I don't think we're headed for quite that, but we are certainly in a crisis, and it's certainly going to affect some land animals I can think about. This past week, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper vetoed 3 anti-LGBT plus infinity bills that would have banned gender-affirming health care for minors, prohibited trans women and girls from participating in school sports, and limited classroom instruction on LGBT plus infinity topics. Human Rights Campaign Legislative Counsel Courtney Avant said, quote, extremist, unquote, lawmakers are advancing, quote, a slate of hateful anti-LGBTQ plus legislation for their own political gain. They're not trying to protect children in schools or create fairness in sports. They're systematically attempting to force LGBTQ plus people back into the closet, unquote. Unfortunately, the Republican-dominated North Carolina legislature has the votes to override the governor's veto. But yeah, they don't care about those topics. They're just trying to get the MAGA crowd to vote for them. So in the last program, we talked about those awful rulings that the Supreme Court dropped on us as they went off to vacations, paid for by wealthy right-wing billionaire people, and which they will then not report to anybody. Well, apparently the right-wing Supreme Court supermajority is just colluding with right-wing groups to bring cases to them so they can make bad law. The state of Missouri had no standing to bring a suit against Biden's student debt relief plan. And that right-wing Christian from Colorado was never asked to do anything with regard to a same-gender wedding. Wasn't that plaintiff's entire claim perjury? The guy named as having tried to force her to do what she didn't want to do, known only as Stuart to protect him from harassment, isn't gay. He's a web designer himself, and he never asked her to do anything. In an interview, he told the Washington Post, quote, "I've been active and vocal on LGBTQ rights, so it was frustrating to see my name being used," unquote. And so, yeah, this is what they're doing. They have complained in the past about, oh, the Supreme Court making laws. They're supposed to rule on things, not just go ahead and make laws on their own. They can't do that. Well, now they're doing it as no one else has ever done in the past, and doing it for bad reasons and to hurt people. I want to read Justice Elena Kagan's dissent from one of these things. And, of course, this is on her, I believe this is on the student loan decision. Justice Kagan's dissent says, quote, "From the first page to the last, today's opinion departs from the demands of judicial restraint. At the behest of a party that has suffered no injury, the majority decides a contested public policy issue properly belonging to the politically accountable branches and the people they represent," unquote. She then continued, "That is a major problem, not just for governance, but for democracy too. Congress is, of course, a democratic institution. It responds, even if imperfectly, to the preferences of American voters. And agency officials, although not themselves elected, serve a president with the broadest of all possible constituencies. But this court? It is, by design, as detached as possible from the body politic. That is why the court is supposed to stick to its business, to decide only cases and controversies, and to stay away from making this nation's policy about subjects like student loan relief," unquote. Kagan concluded her dissent by saying that when the Supreme Court, quote, "exercises authority it does not have, it violates the Constitution," unquote. Well, that's pretty good right there, and that she's saying flat out the Supreme Court is violating the Constitution by its actions, and that's bad stuff to do. And I'm sure that the right-wing supermajority doesn't like hearing that, but yeah, I got to agree with her. This is what they're doing. They're colluding with groups. There's no stuff being brought up before them. Maybe one of the cases is indeed founded on perjury, and they just say, yeah, bring that in. We know what we'll do with it. And so they have collusion, and they have themselves becoming the rulers of America. Instead of having like a Trump dictator, we have now large and half Trumpian supported and half other right-wing supported groups, a junta. The Supreme Court supermajority has become a junta ruling America, and we can't have that sort of thing. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at WBAI.org. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It may be tolling for WBAI. Yes, this is WBAI New York, listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And being non-commercial, we're not selling you Chevys, and we're not selling you all sorts of stuff. Yeah, no land, no swampland in Florida here. We're just on the air. And without those commercials, we have to do other things. The thing we have to do is make you the listener sponsor. You have to be our sponsor. And that's the way we do it. And the way you become a sponsor is by calling 1-212-209-2950 and telling the person who picks up at the call center that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Yes, that's one of the things we need. We need you to be our sponsors. And a BAI buddy is a name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI, which means you would donate on a monthly basis. And the way you do that is you call 1-212-209-2950. When they pick up, they'll ask you for your credit card or debit card information, and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. After you give them the credit card information, you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. It could be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you can afford it. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card billed. And that way it'll come at a more convenient time. It won't be a problematic time on your card. And so you will then end up donating to WBAI 10 or more dollars every month. And that way you will be helping us. You will also be giving us a chance at existence here. We are going to have problems here because we're not paying enough of our bills. Yes, BAI, I've been at BAI for more than 41 years. BAI has been behind on paying its bills for that entire time, and I'm told since before then. But right now, it's a lot worse, and the transmitter people are not pleased because we owe them too much money. And they're saying, oh boy, we see what you did with the Empire State Building, running up a big bill. And they had to sue you like crazy for you to eventually pay it. Are we going to have to do that here too? So we don't want to have to go into that. We can't move to another place again. Oh boy, that wouldn't work. So what we need to do is pay stuff, pay bills. And we need to keep going. And the way we do that is by you calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, hey, I want to be a BAI buddy for Back of the Book. And you go through all the stuff I told you about before. If you want to make a one-time donation, you can call in and make a one-time donation. Still the same number, 1-212-209-2950. And you can say, yes, I want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. So, yeah. Please do that, 1-212-209-2950. You will also not only be supporting Back of the Book, you'll be supporting the very concept of these overnight programs. Yeah, I know, it's all, by the time you're hearing this, the sun is already up, but that's just the way things work right here. Midnight to 6 a.m. are overnight programs. And we are at the tail end of overnight programs. We used to be in the middle of it, but that's life. These programs could disappear, and that would be a terrible thing if BAI relented to the pressure some people are bringing to just rent out the radio station for 6 hours every day, midnight to six. Because some people, they listen to the high-profile main-time programs. They don't care about these overnight programs. And they say, get rid of those, rent out the station, and we'll get to listen to what we listen to because we don't stay up late. Ugh. And so, yes, please, we need you to help us. We need you to call 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call at that number. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or say you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And we'll be very glad if you call 1-212-209-2950 and do that. Thank you. In more court-related stuff, this week, a federal judge in Louisiana restricted the Biden administration from communicating with social media platforms about a lot of online content. The ruling is seen as curtailing efforts to combat false and misleading narratives about the coronavirus pandemic and other issues. It's a First Amendment issue. And yes, the government has a First Amendment right, too. So I guess the anti-vaccination disinformationists are thrilled with this. And again, this is a Trump judge. And so I guess the anti-vaccination people say, oh, boy, we can tell our lies all we please. Except that some of them are too stupid to realize they're telling lies. And also the MAGA people can go on saying, yeah, we have positive proof that Trump was elected in 2020. Oh, boy. You know, like that Sidney Powell person. I hope she goes to prison for this. Making these wild claims about having proof of people messing with the election stuff. And, oh, man. So, yeah, they can get that. They can do that all they please, but the government can't talk to the places and say, look, this is up on your website. You might want to think about, you know, doing stuff about this. They can't do that. The New York Daily News said in an editorial that, quote, Louisiana federal judge Terry Doughty quickly showed himself to be a deeply unserious jurist, writing that the case, quote, arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in United States history, unquote. He apparently slept through high school history classes on the Alien and Sedition Acts, Jim Crow, and McCarthyism, unquote. Yeah, this is pretty bad stuff. It's that is an amazing overreach for any kind of judge to make. Wow, well, he's a Trump appointee. All he had to do was be adequately right-wing, and he got in. Doesn't mean that he has to make any goddamn sense, like that fool in Florida who now has gotten a hold of the Trump trial there and who's made these bizarre rulings about all of this stuff in the past and been completely overruled even by other Trump judges. And this guy is saying this is the most massive attack on free speech. I think his ruling is a big attack on free speech. So, Jesus Christ, these judges that Trump appointed, some of them, not all of them, some of them really stink. And this Terry Doughty character is a stinker. Man, oh man, what a ruling. And it's going to take months now. And I wonder what shenanigans the right wing will get up to online now that the government can't even flag things, can't say, hey, look at this thing over here. They're calling for people to go do something bad. And we know that they have people attacking other people. And they've been giving out people's addresses. The prosecutors who are prosecuting Trump, they are getting a whole bunch of harassment and death threats and all of that. And, oh, man, this is like really, really bad stuff that's been going on here with this. And they're making these threats. And, in fact, this one creep who went after the Obamas, he went after them, and the Secret Service got him because he was so stupid. He got a hold of their address, and he parked his van right outside and stayed there doing a podcast or something, and he just sat there for hours. Well, you know, Obama is a former president. He still has Secret Service protection. The Secret Service pays attention to who parks in front of the house where their subject lives. And when you sit out there in the van for hours, they say, we wonder what this is about. And then they go out and they say, hello, who are you? What are you doing? And, you know, they found this guy had guns and Molotov cocktail fixins and explosive. This guy was armed. And it turned out he was also fleeing federal warrants because he had done other stuff. And he was supposed to be under arrest, but he fled. And instead of living in a house, he started living in his van. And living in his van, he couldn't be traced so easily. So he drove around wherever he was going and would upload stuff online and tell the other right-wing creeps, yeah, let's all get those people who want actual democracy in America. We don't want them to be able to vote for a president. Only we can vote for a president. And so he was getting away with this for a long time, but he went too far. He went and did something really stupid. Did he not understand that the FBI, no, that the Secret Service was going to be sitting there watching whatever happens in front of the Obama home? Got to be really stupid to that.
So you're saying that while this judgment is being appealed, and I assume it's going to be appealed to a higher court, people can get hurt or even possibly killed because of this stinking ruling.
Yeah, because the government isn't going to be able to say to any of the social media sites, hey, look out, this thing's up here and it's, you know, fingering somebody and telling them to go kill them. Now, the sites might take it down, but they might not see it for hours or days or weeks. And so, you know, in that amount of time, something could happen. And you've also had things like when Mar-a-Lago got raided and there by the FBI, some idiot went and tried to attack the FBI headquarters or a headquarters in some local place. And, you know, he ended up in a shootout. And this is because Trump is saying, they're persecuting me, it's a witch hunt, and he's vectoring people in. And others have been looking up the names, addresses, and phone numbers and everything else about various people who've testified, the prosecutors, witnesses, everybody who's involved in doing something to, like, make sure Trump is held accountable, and other people too. Rudy Giuliani is looking like he's in a crosshairs, and this Sidney Powell person certainly needs to be prosecuted and should be in prison, in my opinion. And this Eastman character who was, you know, giving all of those people on January 6th his great legal idea of how Vice President Pence could just say, oh, we don't need all these stinking votes. We know what we want to do and just go ahead with it. He needs to go to prison, too. But meanwhile, people can say, hey, everybody here on Facebook or whatever, here's the address of this guy and he's a prosecutor and you know what to do. And some of them do know what to do. So these people get harassed. They get attacked. There are attempted murders and, you know, guys showing up with guns and bombs. But Terry Doughty doesn't care. Boy. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. There's a new tile in town. Yes, and you probably have seen all sorts of places, and you have, like, your bathroom floor probably has tile on it. Maybe it's little squares, maybe it's little hexagons, and Those tiles are involved in what's called tiling. And there are very few tiles that will continuously tile. And I'm not going to get into all of them, but, you know, there they are. And they need to have straight sides to them because otherwise it won't fit. Like circles cannot tile perfectly. Squares can, hexagons can, triangles can. Others, I think, can too. But there hasn't been a new one in a very long time. And now we have a new tile, and it's a special kind of tile. And it's been discovered by a guy named David Smith, who's a mathematics hobbyist in Yorkshire, England. He isn't even a professional. He's a hobbyist guy. And he discovered a 13-sided shape. And the shape is called an Einstein, not on Albert, but because in German that means one stone. And basically this tile could tile your bathroom floor or anything else in the universe and do it infinitely. And so you can make an infinitely large tiling of this, and the pieces would fit together perfectly, but they would never form a repeating pattern. These are called aperiodic tilings. And mathematicians have been looking for this for a long time, but this is the first one that anybody's found. And I'm reading from Scientific American, the July-August 2023 Scientific American. And yes, Scientific American is now giving us one fewer issues per year all of a sudden. Well, that's another issue. Anyway, these tiles, the first set of aperiodic tiles were discovered in 1964. It required 20,426 distinct tiles to put it together. It was simplified to 103 tiles. By 1974, mathematician Roger Penrose had found two tile shapes that, when combined in a mosaic, never formed a repeating pattern. But this is a much bigger deal one. And the tile that Smith discovered in November 2022 basically is a new kind of thing, and it's shaped a bit oddly, and you say, that can't work. But then they do an illustration of it, and you say, oh, that is working, but it isn't the same. It doesn't form like eventually a square or a big triangle or anything like that. It forms a, who the hell knows what you call that. I guess you just call it an aperiodic tile. Anyway, so he discovers this, and he used some software to really put it together. And he came up with it, and he showed it to people, and it needed to be mathematically proved that it would never repeat. So mathematicians, pros, got a hold of it, and they started going after it. And about a couple of months ago, they said, yeah, this thing is a definite non-repeating tiling. And basically, they're hat-shaped tiles, they call them. They can form all sorts of shapes, and they can form super tiles. Mathematician Rachel Greenfield of the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton said, this is still very mysterious, unquote. And there may be more classes of Einstein tiles out there waiting to be discovered, but there are no clues. And Marjorie Seneschal, a retired mathematician affiliated with Smith College, said, quote, these things you stumble upon, unquote. And that's what he did. So here's a new piece of geometry that nobody had ever seen before, and it's weird looking, and it really does tile. And I've been seeing this for a couple of months when people came up with this. I said, wowee. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
And we are supposed to be back here next week. Okay, it's hot, it's humid. If you don't like the weather, you know, try to cool down, do what you can. For those of us who like the weather, we'll just bask in this stuff. So take care of yourselves, whatever it is you like. And above all, remember what that living in interesting climatic times Dormouse said.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, July 12th at 7 p.m. One of the topics of the meeting is the upcoming elections for new local station board members who will help ensure that a robust WBAI at 99.5 FM remains where the 99.5% can find it on the radio. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, July 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting, which is accessible to the public, will be held on Zoom, and it includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That number again, 929-205-6099, and enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. The meeting ID again, 922-457-2995. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, so it's 995-995-99. And we hope you will join us.
33 cents a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day. $10 a month. You can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on Donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI New York. The following announcement is from the Spirit of Mandela, a campaign to bring international attention to U.S. human rights violations of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people and U.S.-held political prisoners.
Peace, blessing, and revolutionary love. The People's Center Northeast will be in New York City this weekend. July 8th, we'll be at the Earth Church at 1 p.m. for an art show you do not want to miss. And July 9th, we'll head over to the Freedom Hall at 1 p.m. as well for political discussion, combating racism, fascism, and capitalism. For more information, hit us up at 917-602-4070. That's 917-602-4070. Or check us out at our website at www.spiritofmandela.org. What's the call? Free them all.
If you're filing taxes, you may be eligible for some pretty unique deductions. For instance, there are write-offs for clarinet lessons. Or if you hired your cat for pest control, apparently there's a tax break for that too. But if you don't think you'd qualify for pet-related deductions, you could just donate a vehicle to WBAI. It's easy, free, and tax-deductible. Here's how it works. Call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227.
or complete the online form at wbai.org/donateyourcar. From there, our vehicle donation support team will take care of everything, including the pickup, sale, and provide you with a donation receipt. If your vehicle sells for more than $500, you'll also receive a 1098C tax form. So, instead of writing off your cat patrol, you can support programs like the Cat Radio Cafe by donating a car, truck, RV, or boat. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit wbai.org/donateyourcar to get started.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI, New York.